I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 424. Snow joke, dress warmly for PAX East.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey ho.
Hey. Who you calling a ho? I know you're not calling me no ho.
I'm not calling you a ho.
Because this podcast is about to completely change its topic.
This show is ho free.
Well, it's not always ho free.
No, it's totally hoe-free. There are no hoes on this show.
Sometimes we've had a couple of hoes on this
what?
Show.
What?
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 No, I'm just playing. But what we do have on this show is a lot of fun and game news and anime news and just things of, like, general nerdiness and geekiness in nature. And I use both words because some people think one is derogatory and some people think the other one is derogatory. I don't think either of them are derogatory or negative. I use them positively. When I talk about some stuff, I say that I'm a nerd. When I talk about other stuff, I say that I'm a geek. It's really funny.
I think we've had this debate.
We have. And I've had this debate with, like, other people, too. Like, I had someone say, literally in a Starbucks, so you can't be more hipster than that, really, we're having this conversation. And basically the dude was like, yeah, geeks are just hipsterized versions of nerds. And I was like, no.
What?
No. And also, no. Wash your mouth out. Okay, I have hipster-like tendencies. Okay, because I like wallet chains.
Right, yes,
I admit it.
You have an awesome custom one.
Thank you. I like wallet chains, okay? I like long-sleeve t-shirts with holes in them so I can stick my thumb through them. Okay? Some people say that's hipster. I just say that's functional.
Yep.
Now my hand's getting in on the warmth. Exactly.
The sleeves are too long.
Yeah, and then my forearm's not getting the full advantage of the sleeve. It's not getting the warmth.
That weird horrible ring on your flesh because the elasticity in the shirt is too much.
Okay, and then it looks like I'm just, you know, fat trying to squeeze into a shirt that's too small.
Right.
You know? Okay? It's just functional. It's not hipster. I'm just saying.
I understand, sis.
All right? So I use both terms. I don't want anybody to be offended. So if you are, just hit us up on social and be like, I don't like it when you use that word. I'll tell you to your face-ish on Twitter. I'll twish you.
We'll tell it to your Twitter face.
Yeah, your twafes. Is that your twaif? I don't know what we would call that. Then I'm not going to stop using the word, but I apologize for offending you. But I use them both. Like, sometimes I nerd out. Sometimes I geek out. Just depends on the level of what I'm doing.
I don't think there should be a difference between them. I mean, I feel like there should be a distinguished line between, like, a geek and, like, a dork. Because dork
is exactly.
Then.
Yeah, dork is definitely negative, and yeah. I'm not cool. But
right. No, I would never call somebody a dork.
No, that's mean.
But I mean, like, if someone has a specialized interest in comic books, I'd be like, yeah, you're totally a comic book geek.
Yeah.
And I would.
Or a comic book nerd. Yeah, I mean, like.
Saying
yeah.
that. I mean, I'm not using it in a negative way.
Yeah. This is all about positivity and love, people. Except when we don't like something, and then we shit all over it.
Yeah, well.
But we're honest about that.
I like to say I pigeon all over it, because pigeon is just shit, like, whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's.
Pigeons give zero fucks.
It's like pigeon shit.
Yeah. Pigeons do give, like, zero fucks.
They do. They're just like, you know what? I'm going to fly. Like, I'm flying to my bird nest. I'm just going to shit on everything. I don't care. I give zero fucks. I'm a pigeon.
Zero fucks were given that day.
If by that pigeon. By all the pigeons.
Yeah, all the pigeons. I mean, it's pretty much the truth. All the pigeons give no fucks. But what I give fucks about are video games and anime and stuff of that nature. So I'd like to talk about some of that. And the stuff that I want to talk about, and I know you've got stuff to talk about this week, because we did a clip show last week, because I was traveling, and there just was not reliable internet.
You were not on the East Coast last week.
I was not, and there was no amount of good enough internet to stream to try and do a show.
Figured, as soon as you, I'm like, this is not happening, because I can't imagine where you were held up, that you were going to have enough bandwidth to get this show done.
Nope.
Did not have the bandwidth.
It was like, not happening.
A show that will embarrass both of us. It was not. Probably me a little bit more than you.
It was not happening.
But
it just, it was not. It was not going
last
down.
Last show had me in stitches. makes me realize that I should probably be a little bit more careful about how long I record after shows. So I've come to the realization that I should be more aware of how long we record after we actually finish the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I notice I say a lot of things all the time.
Yep. All the time.
I just need to learn how to shut up when the recording light is not on.
Well,
I incriminate myself more.
You need to be quiet when we're still recording.
I need to go to a happy place. And just keep my inner thoughts, panda thoughts, need to stay inside my brain.
Inside your head.
Yeah. I have to work on that. Maybe that should be part
right
of
your inside
my resolution
voice just
for 2015.
Just comes out your mouth. Well, you missed the boat on that because we're in February. So that.
Yeah. Redeemable.
About to be March.
I know. Where did this fucking year go?
Dude, I'm telling you.
Like, what's it's flying the F by. Here I am.
And what's exciting about it about to be March? PAX East.
Fucking PAX East.
That's what's up. PAX East. I am so pumped for this show. Now, I feel a little bad because there's going to be quite a few people coming to PAX. As you know, it's sold out.
Yep.
Real
like
damn
10
quick.
10 minutes after tickets sold, the 3-day passes were like eaten up.
Yep. Okay. So, you know, last year we had, I think it was like just over 70,000 people at PAX East, which was up from the first year, which was like 55,000 people because we're over at the Heinz.
Right.
Okay. So I feel bad for a shit ton of people who are about to descend on Boston for some good video game-y type fun because we still have a shit ton of snow and ice.
So if you don't know what snow is, or you haven't heard of Snowmageddon 2015...
Well, you won't have to pay $89 for real, true Boston Snowmageddon snow.
Nope, just like, come to PAX East and step outside.
Yep, just bring your water bottles and whoop, you can scoop it all up.
I hope that people who are coming from the other sides of the country bring...
Pack appropriate gear.
Yes.
Because it
bring
is much colder.
Sweaters and some hoodies.
It is much
colder.
It might
be warm and beautiful where you are, but you're not coming into warm and beautiful here. It's fucking Boston.
Like, legitimately, it is colder right now in Boston than it's ever been for any PAX East.
Yeah.
So,
like, I think last year it was, like, a little cold and, like, a little rainy.
It was overcast and chilly. It was still, like, in the 30s and 40s.
It's going to be crap.
This is not that.
I believe the Wednesday before the event, we're actually supposed to get, like, freezing rain.
Yes. So,
this is
us giving you the PSA, all right?
The more you fucking know, prepare.
Pack accordingly. This would be the time to bring out your long sleeve t-shirts.
And I suggest you bring some fuzzy socks for your
feet. All right. If you want to wear a light jacket, layer appropriately underneath.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, most people don't wear winter coats because they're used to wearing, like, track jackets and stuff and walking around the convention center. Well,
I know. Sadly, I mean, I only have one coat that is, and it's a winter coat, but I'm going to wear it, and I'm sadly going to have to lug it around with me.
Or coat-check it. You can coat-check it, but you will have to pay for that.
I probably won't, though, because then I'd forget where I coat-checked, and then I would not want to leave the BCEC, and I'd have to live there like a homeless person.
Just roaming the halls, attending.
Until Sunday at 5, when finally they just throw all the coats in a pile, and I just find one that fits, and I can go home. Like, that's what's probably going to happen. No, but I won't have a problem. I mean, most likely, I'll probably bring my giant Astro backpack that will fit my bag, because I'm not bringing that much in terms of equipment this year.
Right.
Like, I get to travel a little bit lighter than I normally do. Word. So I'll be able to just put it in the bag and, like, roll up.
Yeah, you'll put it in the bag and roll up. Put it
in the bag. Please dress accordingly. Yeah.
Okay, you know, bring socks. People are going to
get frostbite. Cosplayers especially.
Cosplayers. You know, please. Bring coats and coat check them.
I mean, okay. Hopefully you're in the Westin and you can just take the little internal bridge.
Dude, everybody that stayed at the Westin is probably, like, kissing their reservation confirmations right now.
Probably, because anyone who's, like, at the seaport, you're going to hate yourself.
You really are. You're going to hate the seaport. You should already hate yourself for that. And you're going to wonder, and you're going to ask them why they don't have a shuttle to the BCEC.
Actually, I'm surprised that they don't, because
it's just over the bridge! Cosplayers, please wear coats and coat check them, okay? Do not suffer for your art in that way. Frostbite is no joke.
No, it is not.
It is going to be cold, people. So just dress appropriately, all right? You know, you can.
I mean, even if you don't come with a hoodie, you can just buy one at the merch
booth. Get a really cool one at the merch booth. There'll be plenty of merch booths. There'll be
scarves.
Okay, you know, get a couple of scarves.
I wonder what the scarf will look like this year, because that's the it item I have to get.
Well, you know, what's really cool about this year is that people, like, different vendors have picked up on people, like, really being attached to the scarves. There are already a couple of devs that I know that their giveaway for their booth involves scarves.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice ones, like the PAX ones. Orcs Must Die.
Oh, good. I liked them.
Yep. They're going to be there with I believe the updated DLC for their game, plus some new stuff. And I saw a teaser on Twitter where they were showing off a green and black Orcs scarf.
Ooh.
So okay. I know of one additional scarf that you will be able to procure when you go to PAX. But I'm really excited because there's, like, a lot of fucking indies this year at PAX.
I think that's a good, I mean, for one.
I love it.
You're going to be in Boston where indies are, like, this is, like, the indie mecca of the North Shore, at least, I should say. Because, I mean, Seattle's kind of, like, the indie scene for, like, the West Coast. There's a
big indie scene in the northern New England area. Like, New York is building up. Yeah. So, I don't want to say just because I live in Boston it's the mecca, but Boston mecca. Definitely was kind of like
we
the...
Have fucking beefing hold here. On.
It was the epicenter, and it is now casting ripples, and it's expanding. Because you have stuff
permeating through the rest of New England.
You've got stuff popping up in Connecticut now. Like, there's a bunch of postmortems and a couple of game jams in Connecticut. Rhode Island's getting on the map with a bustling indie scene, too. So it's not just us, but we did it first. We did it best. Anyway, on the East Coast.
Agreed.
Okay, because let's face it, there would be no East if there was no Prime. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely picking up. Plus, I think, you know, between indies, not just on the game side, but also on the tabletop side, there are a lot of tabletop games that are coming to PAX East. And there's a lot of indie games. Like, the indie mega booth is crazy. And part of the reason that I think indies are taking over and there's so many of them is not just because it's becoming easier and easier to dev for games, but there are a couple of houses that will not be at PAX East for the first time. And they both are surprising to me. I don't know if you've heard this news yet, Panda.
I probably haven't.
You are sitting down.
I am sitting down.
All right. Neither Bethesda nor Ubisoft will be at PAX East this year.
Okay, I'm not too surprised about Ubisoft, but I am very surprised to see that Bethesda is not coming.
Yep, Bethesda's not rolling up. Now, I think it has to do with the fact that they probably aren't ready to show off whatever it is that they've decided to actually broadcast a media briefing at E3 about. So I think they don't have anything new that they wanted to show.
Okay.
Because whatever they have is still too early yet. And probably. So if you don't have anything new, and all you're going to be traipsing out is a game that's been out for a while. Well, two. Wolfenstein and Evil Within.
Well, hey, Bethesda, work on Doom.
Here's the thing.
Whoever's working on Doom that you're supposed to be publishing, get them to work on freaking Doom. We're all waiting for the beta.
I'm saying that they probably didn't have anything new, and so it didn't make sense to buy a shit ton of booth space to not be pushing anything new. Right?
Right.
And Yubi's in the same place. Like, Yubi right now, probably a show like PAX East isn't a good place for them to be. I mean, they just released last week the patch for Unity, which finally fixed my major beef that I had with Unity when I said, I mostly don't have beefs with Unity except for the one thing. Panda, do you remember the one thing I said I had the beef with?
Well, I thought you had several mini beefs about the chests and stuff.
That's the beef. That's the beef. The chest.
That's the beef?
That's the beef.
I found the beef.
You found the beef. I'm so glad you listened to me.
Oh my God, I did listen. I'm so proud of myself.
Gold star for Panda. Yes, the chest. In that there are a bunch of chests that were locked and you would roll up to them in the game and go to lockpick them in and be like, oh, you have to go into the companion app and do things with your initiates and get them up to this level before you could get the key to then go back to this chest, if you remembered this chest, to unlock it. They released a big patch last week that fixed a lot of issues and even addressed them with multiplayer. But the main one was they got rid of that whole thing. So you don't have to do dick with the companion app.
You just have to lock them game. Like regular yep. chests?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yep. Or just open them. Some of them will, in fact, just open.
Oh, well then.
You know, like chests should when you roll up on them.
Well, I mean, when you find a chest and
if you're
abandoned and it's decayed, it should probably just open.
It
should
disintegrate. If you're a master assassin, you should be able to just pop that fucker open.
You should just be able to walk by and just be like, I'm open.
And, you know, it should be like panties dropping. It should be like, ooh, I don't know, and just pops open. Take my treasure. But it doesn't. But it
I'm so glad not. I remembered.
Yeah.
Personal best.
Aw, gold star for you. Definitely,
and that was like months ago.
I know. So definitely progressing on the Less Douchey 2015.
I said I was working on it.
Keep it going. So, you know, but when you think about it, Yubi doesn't have anything to really be blowing noise about right now.
Right.
Assassins is out. It's been patched. It is better. Unity is better. Okay. So everybody can kind of get up.
It got better.
Everybody can get up off that jock. Okay, for the people who bought the season pass, you got a good game out of it. If you were smart, you went with Far Cry 4. You know, so, I mean, that's all said and done. They announced another Assassin's game that they were working on. I can't remember. The one in China.
I don't know.
Yeah,
Assassin's Creed's more your stuff than me.
Yeah, they announced Assassin's Creed Chronicles China, which is going to be a downloadable, so it's a digital-only game that's going to be on PlayStation 4, PC, and Xbox One. But it is dramatically different in that it's basically like a 2D scroller, well, 2.5D.
Okay.
But it's set in China, and the lead character is a chick.
I don't know.
Okay? So, I mean, they're addressing stuff. Here's the thing that I will say about Assassins, about all the beef that came up. For all the shade that was thrown on Ubisoft...
And some shade was seriously thrown.
And some shade was seriously thrown. Ubi has done more for having diverse lead characters in games than most devs. I mean, you got to remember that, you know, you've got Tomb Raider coming out of the Ubi house.
That's
working
right.
with Crystal Dynamics. So you've got Lara Croft as a lead. You know, you've got Beyond Good and Evil with Jade, who is the lead, also a female. That's one of theirs in their house. Like, as far as the Assassin's game goes, I mean, you've had multiple female characters available either through the secondary app play, but also in multiplayer. There's been plenty of female characters that you could, you know, craft and play. And you've had assassins from Altair to Connor, who was Native American, to Ezio, who's Italian. I mean, you've had a lot of different countries represented in lead characters, cultures represented in lead characters. So, like, I feel like
I'm not complaining.
It's been, like, blown up a little bit. And at this point, like, I think we can all move forward. Obviously, I think that as you see the Assassin's franchise move forward, you will definitely see more females in a strong role, if not a lead role. So I think we can back up off that. So I am still in love with Yubi. They are not EA. They have addressed things. They have fixed things. I heart them. Okay. So I'm going to miss them not being at PAX East, but it totally makes sense to me because they don't have anything big new, right? Like, Far Cry's been running and been running pretty well.
Right, no problem, no issues there.
Unity's been freaking patched beyond belief. Like, what are they going to bring? These games are already in people's homes. So I, again, understand not wanting to go through the booth space rental, actually having a booth, so getting all those materials, chucking them around, and, you know, paying to have the frag dolls come out when you don't have anything new to show, right? Because really the only things that we're waiting for right now are Rainbow Six and The Division. And frankly, I think for the crowd that mostly goes to PAX, those are probably a little bit big. And they already had The Division at
South.
E3. And they had it at South. So, like, I understand.
I mean, I think the other reason why we're seeing a lot more indies, particularly at this PAX East over, like, priors, is, for one, the few pretty decent big dev houses that we've had in the area have since diminished or have taken a big hit in numbers.
Yeah, and, but there's also some rumors, because I know who you're kind of talking about, but there's also some rumors floating around about PAX East too. You know, did you take a survey for Harmonix a little while ago?
I did.
And that survey was asking, you know, how you felt about Rock Band?
Yes.
Do you still play it? If you do,
every once in a while, often? Yeah. I actually played it at an arcade, because they had an arcade version out there, and, like, it was in a corner, and I was like, oh, let me just put myself here really quick and just play. Let me play quick. And as soon as, like, they, like, played after me, and then, like, there were groups around it afterwards, and I'm like, see, the power of community play and couch play in the right setting is still out there. It's still yearning to exist.
Yeah, it hasn't gone away. My favorite thing, questions on the survey, would be, like, if you were to play Rock Band on the next gen, what would be the most important thing to you that you would want? And I was like, number one, the ability to use all my existing peripherals with the game, because if I don't, I will actually throw things at my TV.
You earned a lot of those guitars.
My drums, like, forget the guitars. Like, I could buy some new guitars if I had to, but I am not buying new drums. I have an electronic drum kit.
Oh yeah, your Ion.
My Ion drums. I do not know. It must work with my Ion drums. If it does not work with my Ion drums, I might actually have to hurt physically people at Harmonix. But the rumors swirling around, because, you know, they're bringing Amplitude that they've been working on.
Both kickstarted it, so that's nothing new.
But they are bringing the game to PAX East, so people will be able to take a look at it for the first time out in the public, which will be cool. They're also throwing a party on Saturday night, which will also be cool.
Yep.
If you were able to get a ticket, you are going. I am going. The Esh crew is going. But rumors are kind of circulating around that Harmonix is working on some stuff and not just a rock band, because I can't confirm that it's a rock band. I hope it's fucking rock band.
I hope it's
But they actually are working on multiple projects at the same time. So it'll be really interesting to see what those are. And I'll be honest with you, after playing Fantasia, like, I really was not convinced when they first brought out the concept of Fantasia.
Evolved kind of reminded me of Let It Go, the remix.
It got there.
Like, I kind of felt like a lot of the motions that you're making, one, are things that you see in the iconic Master, you know, Mickey and Sorcerer's Apprentice and stuff. But at the same time, the more I kept doing it, I'm like, I still kind of feel like I'm just, let it go, let it go.
That's just Disney being brilliant, okay? I
mean, jumping
for the marketing.
Cash cow and writing it till it was ice
cream. I love playing Fantasia. It is so much fun to remix a song because it never sounds the same twice, which I really enjoy. And it's just a fun, like, kick up, like, relax freaking game that anybody can pick up. And I love that. And it really was unexpected how good it was. So I don't know what they're working on, but man, oh man, if it's anything like Fantasia or has, like, the time, love, and effort put into it like Fantasia was, they can take my money.
Okay, so open your wallet then.
I'm super stoked for PAX East. I can't wait to see what's going on at the indie booth. Microsoft will be in the house, so I'm curious to see what they're bringing. I have a feeling that it'll probably be Fable Legends.
Well, I heard Fable
they
Legends
made an announcement.
They made it free to play.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a feeling that that's probably what they're going to bring, because that's big news to drop right before an event.
Yeah.
You know, because frankly, I expected that to be a disc game.
Nope.
So it's really surprising, in a very good way, by the way, that it'll be free to play. It'll be interesting to see what microtransactions they put into it.
Right, because obviously they're going to have to find a way to make money somewhere in that, right?
Yes, Lionhead will definitely want to get paid. So
no, money.
Just like
who
a little
that?
Bit. Some people like it, just saying.
God.
But I'm really looking forward to it. And, oh, yeah, we're co-sponsoring a party, so you got to come to our party. Friday night, we will be at Prime, 8-Bit Boston 2, the 16-Bit Invasion. If you haven't got a ticket yet, go to eshne.ws/8BitBoston2 and get your tickets while you still can. We're raffling stuff off. We'll have music. We're going to have some trailers that we're going to be premiering at the party.
I personally would cost, like, everyone.
Panda will be accosting people, but in a totally platonic way. So it's not to get arrested.
Full on accosting.
So it's not to get arrested. But we'll also have some games that you'll be able to play while you're there. It's going to be a real chill night. And we're raffling off a bunch of stuff. Including an amazing PS4 prize pack that's a custom skinned PS4 with like 5 games in a year of PlayStation Plus. So you'll be able to buy raffle tickets for like $10. You can get a bunch. And
don't the proceeds of things that are the raffle tickets, isn't it going to Able Gamers?
It is going to the Able Gamers charity. So you get to boogie.
You get to drink, you get to boogie, there might be some nosh, and you get to give your money to a very good cause.
A very, very good cause. So, you know, gamers, come out, support, we'll be there in-house, come check it out, we'd love to see you. And buy some raffle tickets, because we can't win the prizes, because we're throwing the party. So
it'd be kind of like giving myself a prize, which I
really
do every
like
Thursday when I get paid.
Win in our stead so we can win vicariously through you. Because Volition's got a prize pack up in that bitch.
Oh,
so
man.
So this Project Triforce.
I can only imagine what that looks like.
Like, it is ridiculous.
Dildo Bat, the Annihilator.
Oh, my God. If you win an Annihilator.
If they were going to give away the Annihilator, I would cry so much that we're sponsors. Because I'd put all my raffles to that.
Oh, Dildo Bat.
I would love to buy the Annihilator or the Penetrator. And just have
oh
it
my
in
God.
My home.
On display. That goes in a curio because you fancy.
Yep. And that goes in a room so everyone can see what happens when you're going to punish them.
Yep. So PAX East is going to be amazing. We can't wait. We hope to see you there. Hit us up. We're going to be tweeting the thing and being on social and covering it on our website as always. And we will be putting out a roundtable episode like we do every year with some of our favorite friends. So look forward to it, guys, because we're pumped. Just dress accordingly because it's cold as hell.
Cold as fuck.
All right. So with that said, I got a couple of things. I know you got a couple of things.
I most certainly do.
I'm going to jump on mine real quick.
Go right ahead.
They're just, they're real quick. I have been playing The Order 1886.
You lucky biatch.
Okay. Now, I'm going to say this because a lot of people were throwing shade on the game as soon as embargoes were up and people could talk about it. And I avoided every single piece of that stuff until I got home and I could put my hands on the game myself and try it out. Because before it dropped, there were rumors floating around that it was a really short game, and like the internet went stupid about how if it's only $5, it's not worth $60.
You mean if it's only 5 hours?
Yeah, if it's only 5 hours, it's not worth $60.
If it's $5, then five hours is clearly enough content for a $5 game.
Yeah, no, but there were a lot of people who were like, if it's only 5 hours of gameplay, it's not worth $60, and you guys aren't giving us our fair due for our money and all that kind of stuff. Your argument is invalid. Because I paid...
I have not had a chance to play the game at all, so
I'm completely blind. Back in the day, I paid upwards of $80 and $95 for cartridge games that I blew through in under 5 hours, and it was completely fun. The mark of a good game should be, is it fun? Do you get your value out of it? Do you feel when you finish it that you had enough fun? And if the answer is yes, then it was worth every penny. Move on with your lives. So I avoided all that stuff till I got my hands on it myself and started playing it. I can honestly say that I'm probably, I think at this point, almost 3 hours into the game.
Okay.
I have no idea, story progression-wise, where I am in the game. But I will tell you this. I've enjoyed every moment that I've played of this game, including the frustrating quick time events, which are frustrating not because quick time events suck, but because I sometimes suck at quick time events.
We proved it. It takes a very strong person to admit when they suck at something.
Thank you. Proved it in God of War 2. Proved it in God of War 1. Proved it so many times in the new Tomb Raider game. Poor Lara.
Oh God, that first one with the rock. Yikes.
Dude, falling off of the damn waterfall and taking the spike to the head.
Oh, no, I never had that problem.
I took the log to the head.
And that guy grabs your leg. I kept smashing my head with the rock, like the rock came down and crushed me.
Yeah.
And it, like, happened 8 times in a row.
Yeah.
And I remember Eshmom going, I don't think you're supposed to do that. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. I'm like, I'm not getting the cadence right.
Yep. Yep. No, I made it through the rock, but when you fall off the waterfall and you're rushing through the rapids and heading towards the plane.
Like right through the chin.
Yep, and poor Lara grabs her head for a couple of seconds, feeling the spike go through her head before she dies.
Oh, God, and then her body just kind of wags like a flag, a very depressed flag.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember.
I did that to her quite a few times.
I think I saw you do it a couple times, too.
Yeah, you were here when it happened.
It was very traumatic.
And I was like, don't quit. No. Oh. But the events themselves fit into the game just fine. Now, like I said, I don't know where I am as far as to completion. And if I wrap the story up in the next hour of gameplay, guess what? I'm going to tell you right now, for me, The Order is worth the $60 because it is a really good story. I love the narrative. Okay? I play as Sir Galahad. The Order is made up of a bunch of knights. The Order refers to all of its members as knights.
Okay.
When someone becomes a knight of the Order, they take on the name of a knight of the Round Table. So, the player, am Sir Galahad. And you're running around with Egrain and Sir Percival. through things that happen. I'm not giving any spoilers away.
Things that happen. You're not going to spoil it?
Sir Percival that you're running around with dies.
That sounds like a spoiler to me.
It's not a spoiler. It happens very early on in the game. Okay. And a new Sir Percival is named. So it explains how these Knights of the Round Table
have
been there forever.
So is the naming of a knight very similar to in that anime, the AKB 4408, where like a different person could assume another identity?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that happens. All right. So
I'm following.
Percival dies, a recruit in training takes his place and becomes the new Sir Percival and sits at the table. There are, as part of the ritual, they drink from the Grail.
Holy Grail?
Yep.
I thought that was a vagina.
Nope.
But I thought the Holy Grail was a vagina in the Bible.
Nope. Listen to me now.
Is it an actual chalice?
Grail in the Bible. Listen to me now.
Okay, I'm listening.
The new Sir Percival is knighted. You create a vial of what's called black water, which is a blessing of this water from the Grail and also your blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to heal certain wounds.
Sorry, so it kind of sounds like you're a Grey Warden in Dragon Age with the whole darkspawn and the
kind of, except with the, but you have the Grail. So where this comes into play in the game is if you take heavy damage because you don't have a life gauge. Very much like Beyond Two Souls.
Okay.
And in all honesty, the way that the narrative rolls out, it feels very much like Beyond Two Souls.
I never finished Beyond Two Souls.
You need to finish.
I'm at the climax.
I know. You were like, I was supposed to choose. You were like, and I'm at the point where I'm supposed to choose, and I didn't choose. And I'm like, no, you have to choose. And you're like,
yeah,
no, I'm turning it off right now. Hurt my soul. Anyway, it plays very much like that. So it is very much about the experience and telling you the story. Even the heads-up display is not really very in your face and overt. It feels very much, and sometimes I even lose count of, like, bullets that I have or my need to reload until my character yells out, I'm reloading! Get me in cover! Basically. But the story is very good. The narrative is really good. And the game is gorgeous. And the gameplay is fantastic. There's no camera issues. There are a couple times where I want to go into cover and I don't go into cover, and a couple times where I don't want to go into cover because I'm walking past the wall and I do, but that's just me being dumb with my controller.
I mean, I've heard, and like I said, I have to preface that I have not played it yet. I do not own it. I kind of wish that I did, because you and I had both been waiting for it to drop last year E3 when they announced it.
Yep.
And, I mean, I have been reading a lot of the articles. I have been hearing a lot of people who have had the chance to play the game. And, I mean, where you're only 3 hours in, and from the way that you're talking, it doesn't sound like a lot of the progression narrative-wise has really happened for you yet. And it seems like a lot of people are disappointed at, and I mean, this is all speculation on my end because, like I said, I haven't played it, but no questions that you are given get answered. And I think that that might be their way of, you know, one, keeping it open for another game, which would turn this into a franchise and not just a one-off game. But you can't not give your demographic anything. Like, it doesn't seem that they're resolving anything in this game for you. So, like, it kind of feels pointless to some people who have been playing.
So here's what I'll say right now with the story where it's at.
For you.
For me.
You are playing it.
I am playing it right now. Where the story is at right now is Percival was on to something. Some bad things were happening.
Wait, the old one?
Yes, the old Percival.
Okay.
Was on to something. And was questioning basically how the Order was being led, because there were things that the Order was charged with doing that he didn't think was happening. So he was going a little bit rogue.
Okay.
To track it down. And some shit popped off, and he died. And so right now, Galahad, who was really, really close friends with Percival for, you know, a couple centuries. Because drinking the black water, you know.
Kind of makes you immortal?
Kind of.
Of course.
Kind of. You know, until the point that you can't drink the water anymore. Or you take so much damage that you can't heal, at which point then you die. Galahad is now tracing down those things to try and figure out what was going on so that he can, in some way, get vengeance and closure for his friend's death.
Galahad, that sounds like a name of a knight from the Knights of the Round Table.
That's what I did I not just say?
I know, but I'm trying to remember the stories because I kind of read this back in college. There must be another reason why they're using that particular name.
All right, so anyway.
Sorry.
So anyway.
Literature me just took a total left. Whenever.
But I already said right. They are all knights and they're named after Knights of the Round Table. They have the grail. I said that a while ago.
I'm sorry. My brain just took a little longer to process what you said.
Okay. And so Galahad is off running around right now trying to figure out what's going on. And basically, the East India Trading Company is up to no good.
So wait, who do you control?
You control Galahad.
Oh, okay. All right.
I said that too.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. So it must have been when I was thinking about the literature and not the actual
game. It must have been. And yeah. It happens. So you control Galahad. You're running around trying to find out
what happened to
is going on and what was Percival onto and all this kind of shit.
So how does Tesla play into all of this?
So Nikola Tesla is basically the gadget maker for the Order.
Okay.
So all the weapons that you use, which, by the way, the weapons are badass. There's one that you have that basically is napalm, which in 1886... You don't have napalm, but it sprays like what looks like snow with one round, and then you fire a rocket, kind of.
I bet it all explodes.
A firework, and it all explodes and rains down fire on whoever it's on or near.
Okay.
So it's basically a napalm gun.
Aw. So you never get to actually fight alongside Nikola Tesla? You just kind of show up to him and be like, hey,
I haven't yet, but again, I'm only a couple of hours into the game.
Because, I mean, everyone was so pumped at the idea that Nikola Tesla was involved in this game. And if he's just...
And I believe that he is. I'm just saying, if he is,
as far as you,
I haven't gotten to that point
yet.
That's
his role for you so far. Got it.
All I'm saying is, as far as I've played it, I haven't gotten to Tesla. So if he is able to join you at some point, which would kind of make sense to me, because wasn't there, like, a trailer or a video at some point?
Fought alongside him.
Yeah, so...
I was like, oh shit, Nikola Tesla!
So I'm fairly certain that you can.
Well then, you're gonna have to get through the next 2 hours of your game, and then next week let us know if it's actually something that happens.
And it may be more than 2 hours, so I'll let you know. But I'll tell you right now, for me, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And I feel like I've gotten my $60 worth, and I haven't finished the game yet.
Well,
you know, and if it does end with questions, then that leaves that open to people. Don't forget DLC,
right?
Because just because it shipped on disc doesn't mean that DLC is not planned for it or could not be released for it, or it is in fact the start of a franchise.
Well. I'm going to say this.
Devs don't want to do one-off games
on it so that I can play it for free.
I spent $60 so you don't have to?
That's right. You spent $60 so that I don't have to figure out where I'm going to get it to buy it myself. I'll just borrow it.
Well,
it sounds like the type of game where if you can't afford to have it, you know somebody who does and you can just steal it.
Dude, I'm pretty sure that you'll fucking love it, so...
Oh, I know I will. Duh.
I mean, the style is great. I just got to the point where we found the vampires, so... You know, vampires and werewolves.
I mean, and who doesn't like that combination?
And I'm killing shit. So, pretty much, it's awesome. I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
Boom, done.
All right, well, I have a few gripes that are more just in the nerd sphere and not necessarily a game, and then I'll finish up with a game. So, currently, and I'm sure this will still be going on when this podcast comes out, there's this thing on the internet that everyone is
Wait, is it the llama thing or the not llama thing?
I'm talking about the not llama thing first and then the llama thing.
God damn.
So, you know, I'm a female. I enjoy dressing up and being pretty when I have the time to develop a look. We all know this. I put it all over my Facebook. It's a part of my life. I'm learning to accept it as a human being. It looked like a girl did pretty much the same thing, except a question was posed. In the picture, the dress looks to look like one set of colors, but to some of her other friends, it was another different set of colors. And now there's this big dress debate over what fucking color this dress is.
Oh, God.
And it's
You're really bringing up the dress.
Yes, I am, because it's literally taken over my Facebook. And, like, I thought I was getting annoyed by, like, cat pictures on my Facebook and, like, baby pictures all day. Now it's fucking memes about this dress. And, like, I am annoyed. And Panda loves a good meme. Love it. I would love to make them up and make money, but that's not how it works for me, because my memes aren't that good. But, like, I cannot get behind why people are so obsessed with what fucking color this dress is. Are you wearing the dress? Are you personally wearing it, Internet? Do you really care what color it is? Do you have to go to a party and you want to have the right pair of shoes? Like, come on, guys. Come the fuck on.
All right, hold on. By the way,
just so that we could just get this out of the way, when I look at the dress, it looks white and gold to me.
All right, so I'm just going to break it down, okay? The photo is overexposed. The dress...
I thought it was inverted.
No, the dress is, in fact, black and blue. They had somebody on the Today Show model it. But basically, the photo is overexposed. And so, depending upon the device you look at that photo with, if your gamma is set to one thing, it actually looks the way it's supposed to look. And if your brightness is set too high, it does not. So it's just a poorly exposed photo.
Oh, God. Okay.
See, drama averted.
That makes me feel so much better then.
Okay. It's just that, again... But people do see color differently. So depending upon how you have your brightness and what you have your monitor set like, it looks different based on devices. So there's some people that look and be like, oh, no, it's blue and black. I can see it. And then there are some people like, no, it's white and gold. It, you know what? It doesn't matter. It was a funny fucking thing. It caught everyone's attention for a little while.
And frankly, still catching people's attention.
And frankly, I think that, you know, anytime you can have a whole bunch of people jump into something and have fun and have a little bit of conversation and then learn a little bit of something.
Sorry, I just saw a whole lot of freaking meme wars, like team black and blue, team gold and white. I'm like, guys, really?
But that was fun. I mean, you had brands that jumped on it. PlayStation put out a image with a gold stripe and on the white PlayStation, and which was funny.
Pizza Hut. Because the PlayStation 4 is black and blue.
Because it is black and blue. And they were like, don't know what you're talking about. This thing's totally black and blue. So it was funny on like a bunch of different levels.
If I had seen that one, I probably would have found more enjoyment. But I just didn't get the whole thing about the dress. And then
like Pizza Hut put one out with just a shot of a pizza. And it was like, no, seriously, it's totally white and gold. You know, it's like, it was really, really funny to see some brands like have fun with it and to see people having fun with it, but then also learning about, you know, how in fact people do in fact, everybody interprets color.
Color, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Like that, when you boil it down to that and the internet erupting over fucking science versus Kim Kardashian's ass.
Okay.
I was much happier with the dress debacle in my feed.
Now it seems like this big theological debate with this dress. Like,
exactly.
So much more.
So much better. It's so much better than what you think it is. Okay? That's how you break the internet.
You made the anger sharks swim away.
Yay!
Now put
I am success.
Dress debate in
now, now just watch the llamas run free. Set to music, and you'll be so happy.
I haven't, like I said, I've heard about that one, but I haven't seen it.
You need to watch the one set to music, because that's good times.
We're just making claims to that. So I guess I'll finish up with the game that I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And this game has actually kind of inspired me to want to do, and I haven't really fully coined it yet, but I want to do like mini vlog views, like a mini review about a game and how it makes me feel, because I've noticed a lot of games that are coming out in the indie sphere happen to, one, really resonate with people who make them. Like, they're trying to show us something, they're trying to show their brand of art to us, and, you know, in the form that they know how to do it in their medium. And this game that I recently kind of watched slash half played, came out, developed and published by Freebird Games, and it's called To the Moon. And at first I wasn't sure how I would take to this game because it's got a very retro style. It kind of reminded me of like Chrono Trigger. I know it was made with the RPG Maker, and a lot of games, you know, you can make games pretty much by that thing by just, you know, moving stuff around. The game came out in 2011. It's a role-playing adventure game, and pretty much it's a lot more like you're reading more things than you're actually doing. Without giving too much away, if you took Eternal Spotlight of a Spotless Mind, which I always mess up that title, you put that in a game and you play the scientists of that, then you get kind of an idea of what's going on. So you are playing these two scientists who are sent to this house to meet this old man who has spent a lot of money to have this corporation come and pretty much artificially implant memories into his brain. Okay. Because he is dying. So he shows up, you guys show up, and he's already kind of on his deathbed. There is a housekeeper and her kids who are living in the house, and they've kind of gotten really close to this man because he's pretty much let them live there. And it's a beautiful house. Like, it's really, really nice. And when they go into his mind, they meet the most recent memory that he has. And pretty much he says that his goal was, the memory that he wanted to have put in was that he wanted to go to the moon. So you're thinking, oh man, this, you just got to go back to when he was a kid and just, you know, inception him, put the thought there, and then boom, artificial memories get created. The man dies feeling he's accomplished something much bigger than he actually did. And that's great. And that's what these scientists do. And there's a female, her name's Eva, and then there is a male scientist who's kind of the comic relief character. It took me a bit to like him. At first, I didn't care for him at all, but he kind of grows on you. And his name is Neil. And pretty much what you're doing is you're going back through this man's memories until you can get to his earliest memory to then incept the notion that he wants to go to the moon. And as you're going through his memories, you find out that he was married to this woman who has Asperger's. And even though they don't actually outrightly say that that's what she has, by going back in the memories, you kind of see that she does have a lot of those characteristics. And I mean, I work, you know, when I'm not doing this, I work with a lot of children with special needs. And I could kind of tell right off the bat that she was somewhere on the spectrum as soon as I saw how she interacted with things. And I was like, oh, okay, it got kind of real. And Whoa. You kind of see her deteriorating and him trying to understand why she does what she does, even though he knew from earlier on that she had something going on and he liked that about her. But then you kind of see him struggling with the fact that he can't grasp how she's interacting with things. Mm. And as these two scientists are going back further and further in, you know, his mind, at one point they can't get to his earliest memories because there's something blocking them. And you find out that he had taken, when he was younger, this type of medication that, like, blocked stuff in his brain so that he couldn't recall memories, and they couldn't get back further enough to properly put the notion of going to the moon into his head. And like I said, I don't want to spoil why that happens, but as I'm sitting there reading this game and walking through this game, I was trying so hard to not cry like a fucking bitch.
Dude, I'm fighting it right now, and I didn't even play this thing.
Like, it was very moving because, you know, as you see these memories of Johnny, that's the guy, and his wife, you kind of see that, oh, I feel like I'm going to spoil it. Okay, I'm going to spoil it. So
that was fast.
I'm going to spoil it because I kind of have to get the proper resonance of the game. So Johnny Wiles, when he was younger, he is a twin. And his twin dies by kind of his mom. It's kind of his mom, their mother's fault that his twin brother Joey dies. And she kind of doesn't take it very well and never really accepts Joey's death and kind of forces Joey's life onto Johnny. And Johnny, as a kid, took this medication that kind of altered his memories. And you find out, when you finally get through that part of the game, when you figure out how you can get into all that messed up stuff, is that the night, because Johnny always wanted to go to the moon, but he couldn't remember why. And it's because of the medication he took when he was trying to suppress his feelings about his dead brother, that at night when he was at a festival with his brother and his mother, he met his later in life wife, and they were both looking up at the moon, and she explained what she thought the stars in the sky were, and he like kind of fell in love with her then, even though he, you know, when you're a little kid you really don't get that. But throughout their lives, even though his wife, you know, was going through trying to live her life knowing she was different, you know, she remembered meeting Johnny as a little boy, looking up at the stars and the moon, but Johnny didn't remember. So as their lives progressed and they got older and older, and she kept trying to remind him about their conversation, which kind of drove her illness to kind of depreciate her, because she died before he did. And the scientists, you know, one of them, Eva, the girl that you choose to play, is really kind of trying to get the job done. And Neil, who is her, like, sidekick, really just wants, at the end of it, to, you know, make Johnny happy. And you end up having to make a decision about, do you fulfill exactly what he wants, or do you make him happy? And Eva decides to go straight for what he desired, which kind of meant removing his in the future or this current time's wife out of the certain life order, which at first I was worried that she had permanently like deleted her from his life, which yes, they would have been able to put the memories of the moon, going to the moon in him, but he would have lost the love of his life. And it is heart-wrenching. Like, I sat there reading all this stuff, holding, clenching my hands, because I'm playing this with my boyfriend, who he purposely put that out there because he wanted to see me break down like a bitch, because he kind of thinks I'm a robot sometimes. And I didn't want to give him the satisfaction, but he totally got me. And I had to kind of walk away and go like sob a little bit in the bathroom, because it really did resonate in a way that I wasn't expecting a game to do. And this development, this dev house and this publisher is making another, because that was just the first episode of a series of games where you'll do similar things to this. And they have since released another hour-long, not spoken story that will tie into what happened into the moon. And if you haven't played the game, you need to. You can play it on your computer. It's actually even available for the Mac and also for Linux. So, ooh, like, I'm so glad everywhere that they made it accessible to all different types of PC users. And I was just utterly moved. And there's a nice song in the game that is very soft at first and very simple, and then it kind of builds and it kind of sticks with you and it kind of follows you if you play it. I'll put that in the show notes for this, because I feel like everyone should know the song. And if you have a chance to play it and A Bird Story, I strongly suggest that you do. Have tissues with you, because you will certainly need them, at least four to the moon. Not so much with A Bird Story, but that was just a teaser of what's possibly going to happen in the next installment. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing what happens next. I hope I can see it through my tears, though.
Dude,
it is deep, man. Like, it is it is so deep. And, like, at first, when you're playing it, you don't think it's going to be that deep, because, I mean, it is from an RPG maker, so you're kind of expecting, oh, man, that's probably going to have some elements of standard RPGs that you like, and it's not. Like, it totally psychs you out in the type of game you're actually playing. And it really makes you feel invested and you feel immersed in the game, which is something I always look forward to in games that have strong narratives. So if you can get me then I will open up my wallet and I'll open my heart up to you. And this game totally did it. Like, hands down. Hands effing down.
Dude.
I mean, a lot of people, the way that the game ends, have a lot of theories as to what happens. And I will not spoil that, because that is definitely something that, one, if you're going to play this game, you need to experience on your own. And I couldn't give it justice with my words anyway. So I'm not even going to bother trying, because I'd feel like a butcher at a shop. But go check it out. And if you do, let me know that you've played it, because I have my own type of theory that I haven't shared with anybody. And I'd love to talk to somebody about it. Maybe you.
Maybe. Maybe.
So, but that's about it for me. I did play another game, but I actually want to write a review on that one. I know. I haven't written anything in like
a month. Months.
And, but I mean, it's kind of inspired me. And I actually kind of want to make it a series. So I'll tell you a little bit. I'll tell you what the name of the game is. And then you can look for the review on EGM Now and on our Facebook page. So the game is called Actual Sunlight. So if you want to go do your research about what the game is about, you can. It's a pretty deep subject. Like, it's got a big, deep subject matter that I feel is very real. And it also kind of took me on a emotional adventure, I should say. I didn't cry, per se, but it
did. But you had the feels.
But it pulled on strings that I think every person who has life experience can relate to in one way or another. And but look forward to my thoughts on that game when I actually get the review written.
Cool beans. All right, so in this episode, we're actually not going to do a promotion for all of our other shows and the channels that you can find us on, because we just have something very near and dear to us that we want to say. At the time that we've taped this podcast, Leonard Nimoy has passed away. And I started out the show saying that, you know, I use the word nerd and geek interchangeably. I don't find them to be derogatory. And a big reason that is because I identify as both, because I love science fiction and I love things that are nerdy and geeky. And Star Trek is one of those things. I've watched almost every single television series except for Enterprise in its entirety. I've seen every Star Trek movie. And I just loved what all of the cast members brought, but by far my favorite character, even being a black woman, was always Spock, because I found the balance of human emotion and logic to just be so interesting. And in those moments where it broke to be a little emotional or struggled to keep a level head, is something that I could always identify with. And Leonard Nimoy is just an amazing actor, and to bring that kind of professionalism and talent to a role to really develop a character like no other that I'd really seen growing up was really, really cool. And so I'm very, very sad that he lost his battle with COPD, but for a person to embody the phrase "live long and prosper," Mr. Nimoy definitely did that. And so I know you have some things that you want to say, but the world is definitely a little bit sadder without him in it.
Well, while I didn't come into Star Trek until a lot later in life, I always did appreciate Spock as a character. I always thought he was a great foil to Shatner. I always thought that you got a much deeper story between their interactions and them trying to figure out how to be friends being so different and learning how to step outside of themselves, especially Spock with, you know, that the tension between being unfeeling and then letting that human side eventually seep through where he could find a proper balance and feel better about his lineage, which I know was a struggle in some of his, you know, episodes for a bit. But I always appreciated that Leonard also, one, was really big into not only the science and stuff, but also the arts. And he had done a stint of photography I want to say it came out around 2007, where he was showcasing women's bodies, and he wasn't afraid to step outside of the box, and that he has women of all shapes and sizes, ages, you know, nationalities, and it's a very beautiful installment. And I remember seeing it a couple of years ago. I want to say probably around 2010 is when I actually got to see it. So I had a newfound respect for him to be able to show what his ideals or what his thoughts of beauty were. And it was done in such a tasteful way that I always had a special place in my heart being, you know, a woman of a considerate size, rather to say. So he will be sorely missed. I feel like the world has lost something very pure and very beautiful. And I don't think we'll ever come across a soul as beautiful as that. But I have high hopes. So rest in peace. And I can't do the Vulcan hand thing, but I practice every day. And maybe one day I'll be able to properly do it without breaking my fingers.
I think Bill Shatner summed it up best earlier today on Twitter. He said, "I loved him like a brother. We will all miss his humor, his talent, and his capacity to love." That's a beautiful thing to say about
him. Oh man, I just teared up like a bitch again.
Well, don't read Nimoy's last tweet.
I haven't read it yet because I need to gird my loins and iron my will, so I don't tear up like a baby.
It'll get you.
It's powerful. Is it palpable?
It is.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
With that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Embrace your nerd and your geek. Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.